But God does not target. I didn't say He leaves it alone. I just said He don't target the outside. He desires to do a work in you.
Amen.
Brother Seals, when I got saved January 20th, 1981, before I ever saw a whole lot of change on the outside, I saw it on the inside before I ever left that church. Are y'all listening? I'm preaching good, trying to. When I got up out of that altar, I still had my long hair. That hadn't changed. I didn't even have time. I just got out of the altar. I didn't have time to go to the barbershop then. So that hadn't changed. My truck was still full of all that old garbage music, amen. I didn't have time to do that. But oh, I'm telling you, I saw the work on the inside. I knew, brother, I didn't have to ask nobody what had happened. I got up and told everybody what had happened. Why? Because on the inside, I knew my heart was changed. I knew my will was changed. Let me give y'all a little something to think about. If salvation that you claim to have does not change your will toward God, you didn't get it. Amen. I'm not trying to complicate it, friend. I'm just trying to nail her good and tight. My will changed. Salvation, my friend, is a matter. Listen. Salvation is a matter of the will. God will never make you. God will never force you. God will never twist your arm and force your will. But I tell you what He will do. Brother, when you respond to His call willfully, voluntarily, my friend, then your will is etched out from that day forward. Our will should be, Thy will be done on earth as it's being done in heaven. Tell me your attitude toward the will of God, and that'll tell me what your will is. Now, I'm telling you, folks, and y'all know it, there's people all around Hawkins County and everywhere, my friend, that's got a rebellious will about God and His Word and His bid and His will and all of that, but yet they're thinking they're going to heaven when they die. People don't want to hear nothing about God. Talk to them about God, Brother Chuck. They get mad. They get defensive. They get upset. And they'll say something like this. Well, I think that is personal. I have never seen anybody, when I've asked them about their salvation, that got mad and defensive and upset and said that is personal, that was saved. Somebody asked me if I'm saved. You think I'm going to pitch a hissy? You think I'm going to start throwing books? No, I'll take, praise God, scratch me out of place and say, hallelujah. Y'all just get you a good seat because I'm going to tell you about it, praise God. That's right. People get mad when you ask them about being saved and they get upset and been out of shape. That person don't have nothing to tell. Oh, Jesus. God targets the inside, but it don't stay on the inside. I read it to you there in Philippians chapter 2. One verse said, work out your own salvation, fear and trembling. That is, God works it in, you work it out. That has the idea of a farmer putting that seed in the ground and then working it and bringing that seed to fruition and fruit bearing. Get out of it all you can get. How many in your plants a garden? Three or four, five, six. You throw a kernel of corn or some seed in the ground and say, well, we'll just see what happens. I ain't fertilizing it. I'm not pulling weeds. I'm not going to water it. I'm not going to do nothing. Yeah, you'll reap a big harvest. No. Working out your own salvation has the mind and the mentality and the illustration of a farmer, my friend, that nurtures that seed and fertilizes that seed, my friend, and does everything that he possibly can to get that seed to do all it can do. You can't, oh Lord help us. You can't give that seed life That comes through a natural process of a seed dying, death giving way to life. You can't give that seed life. And I'll tell you what you can do. You can take that seed and give it what it needs. Hallelujah. So it can grow and so it can bear fruit for the glory of that farmer. The seed. Let me give you a verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Not H-O-L-Y. W-H-O-L-L-Y. God of peace sanctify you wholly. That is every bit of you. I pray God your whole spirit, soul. Oh, here's a part that most Christians has left off today. And body. God is desiring to sanctify you body, soul, and the spirit, inside and out. No matter the scene, the sight of the work of God. Let me get this and I'm going to be done. Of course, this is the big point. I'm going to try to cover this quickly. I want to talk about the speciality of this work. Notice Paul said this, "Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a what? Say it again. Good work." If you frown over being saved, I wouldn't trust your salvation 5 seconds. Because salvation is a G-O-O-D work. Good work. In fact, Hebrews chapter 2 calls it great salvation. I want you to look at this with me. The speciality of that work. You say, "Preacher, why do I need a work? Why do I need this good work done in me?" Turn to Romans 7 quickly. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles. Let's follow along real quickly. If you'll listen quick, I'll preach quick. Amen. I know it's running out when I get about 2 amens and a grunt. Thank you, brother. Praise God. Chapter number 7 of the book of Romans. Verse number 18, the same word, listen, the same word that is used in our text of Philippians 1:6, describing the work of God, good work. I looked that word up in several places, and I want you to look at one of the first ones. Why do we need that work of God, that good work done in us? Look what Paul said in Romans 7, in verse number 18 and 19. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no..." Here's the same identical word. No good. No good thing. Why do we need a good work done in us? It's because there's no good in us. Are you listening tonight? I'm telling you, this is food. This is spiritual food, scriptural food. That'll feed us tonight. Ought to be wanting that good work done in us. Because we, like Paul, will have to testify even after being saved. That is within my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The only good thing, Brother Carroll, that's in any of us is the good work that God has worked in us. So therefore, you can't boast of yourself and you can't put your thumbs under your suspenders and say, "Look at me. You must do like me and all the rest that are saved." And my friend, back up and bow out and say, "He did it all. He's the one that done a good work in me." Because if He hadn't have done a good work in me, Brother Henry, I'd still be under the control of the flesh that doesn't have any good in it. Oh, listen to this. Here's another passage. Turn to, let's just use Mark 10, Gospel of Mark, verse 10. Or no, chapter 10, Mark 10. Look. I'm talking about that special work, that good work. Amen? I like that. You know that, listen, that word good means that joyful work. It means that upright work. That honorable work. That pleasant work. that useful work. That's what that word means. All right, look here. Oh, I seen this today. I'm telling you what's true. I'm telling you about tore the living room down. Mark chapter 10. Talking about that good work now. Are we listening? Are y'all? I know I'm preaching long. I'm not trying to. It's just good. Mark chapter 10. Look here. Verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled down to him and asked him, here's the same word, good master. Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. That's why he was calling him good, because Jesus is God. Amen. But that man that came to Jesus, same text, same story in Matthew 19, in verse 16 and 17. Listen to this. And behold, one came and said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. If thou wilt enter into the land of life, keep the commandments. Watch this right here. Here come a man that wanted to go to heaven off of some good that he could do. But I done showed you there in Romans, there's no good in us. In the flesh, there's no good in us. Watch this right here. Who did he address over this subject of eternal life? The good master. Same word, Brother David. Same word used to identify Jesus identifies the work that he's wanting to do in you. That is what salvation is. The good master working in you the same things that enables him to be called good master. Amen. Now you look at how many people's got that going on in their life. I'm not perfect. I don't want y'all to get that idea. I don't have a halo one, not the first. But I want to tell you what, I do see and have seen in my life that ongoing work of God in my life. Amen. Amen. I'm not altogether where I need to be as far as in His likeness. But I'm going to tell you what. For where I'm at and where I used to be, Lord help us. All I can say, Brother Aaron, is a good master has done a good work. Amen. You won't never hear me whine and complain about the work of God in my life. You won't never hear me stand up and say, well, I'm upset because I can't do as other men are. I'm tickled pink. I'm tickled to death. I'm thrilled, my friend, over the good master being my good master, working in me a good work. All right, listen to this. Here we go on. We got to go on. Let me say this. One more thing about that master thought. Did you know? Oh, Lord, help us. Lord showed me this evening, too. The only one that can work in your life is whoever is mastering you. I want you to get this. If you don't get nothing else tonight, before any source can mold you and work in you, work on you, work in you, my friend, they must first get into that position of master. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. It's talking about us when we were lost. It's talking about sinners that are lost. Watch this right here. And you have the quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. What's the next verse say? Brother Seals, you there? You there? Who's there? Who's there? Ephesians 2, verse 2. Who walked according. How's it? Read it, Brother Seals.
To the prince of the power of the air.
Start right here.
Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Do you notice that? When it said there in that verse that when we were lost, there was a master in our life called the Prince and Power of the Air, and we walked according to the course of this world and according to the Prince and Power of the Air, the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You know why? That we had so much of what the devil is in us is because he was mastering us. Are y'all listening? Listen, if you're not saved, my friend, he, the devil, is in the master position of your life. You think you're doing what you want to do? You're not doing what you want to do. Are you listening? You're not making your own plans, nor did I. When I was lost, I thought I was, but brother, I found out after I got saved, there was another one in charge of me. Amen. The Prince and Power of the Air, the devil himself, is in charge. He is the master. He's sitting on the throne of every lost person. And therefore, he's working in them. His work. And if you don't think he's not doing that, you hadn't looked at America lately. America, morally, my friend, is going down the tubes. Our country's already been sold out, and God help us in this next election. Lord God, help us, Jesus, in this next election. Brother, there are candidates that are making their vocal brags and boasts, brother, in a roundabout way. They are going to sell us down the tubes. Master. But when you get saved, friend, give me a songbook right here. I'm going to tell you what happens, friend, when you get saved. I wish y'all could see. You got two masters in your life. One, when you got saved, before you got saved, you didn't have but one master running your whole show. You wasn't doing your will, you was doing His will. And He didn't care nothing about you. He wants to make dope heads out of all of His followers. He don't care if you kill yourself. His ultimate goal is to take you to the regions of the damned, put you in hell with Him. Amen. He knows He's going. I like to remind Him of it every now and then. He knows He's going, thank God. But He wants to take as many with Him as He possibly can. But He lost, brother, this one. He lost this one 26 years ago. He lost this one. And let me tell you what happened, praise God. The Holy, listen, He didn't willfully leave from being my master. He had to do it. When I got saved, no man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. You'll either love one and hate the other. But when I got saved, I'll tell you, one came in, and thank God one of them left. Hallelujah. The devil's not my master no more. Jesus is my master. He's a good master. I don't have no complaints about Him. He's been faithful. He's been true. I've never caught Him asleep. I've never caught Him off guard. I've never caught Him on vacation. I'm about to have a spell. Good master. Oh! I tell you what, a lot of folk are saved, and I believe there are some that's saved, they're as miserable, my friend, as they can be. Why? Because they're saved. But they're still letting that old master have some say-so in their life. You know what the best thing for you to do tonight? Praise God for all of us that are saved. Praise God. Kick that old master out and tell him to, as Jesus did, get behind me, Satan, amen. Praise God. Let Jesus be a good master that'll work in you a good work. Look at Luke 10 quickly. Hurry, Lord have mercy. I can't believe I preached 30 minutes. Some of you say out of it, you didn't even catch that. Some of us have still got our ears on. Luke 10:42. Luke 10:42. Quickly, hurry, hurry, hurry. Turn there. Mary and Martha. Jesus went home to eat with them. Martha was in the kitchen, cumbered about with much serving. Mary, where was she? Mary, hey Mary, why aren't you not in here? Martha comes in there in verse number 40, pretty much rebukes the Lord and says, "Dost not thou care that my sister hath left me alone to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she helped me." Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that," here it is, same word, "good part."
Amen. Amen.
Oh Lord, have mercy. It's been a while since I've had fun preaching, but I'm having fun. Mary hath chosen that good part. So if you take this passage, line it up with Philippians 1:6, that good work is a good part with Mary. In other words, He's wanting to work in you. A humble, listening communion with Jesus.
Amen.
Sitting at His feet.
Yeah.
And hearing His Word.
Oh, boy.
That's a good work. That's a good work, thank God, that'll cause people to want us fellowship with Jesus, hear His Word, love on Him, and set at His feet.
Amen.
Let me give you another one. Let me give you another one real quickly. Romans 7:12. Romans 7:12. Lord have mercy, I've got to hurry. Romans 7:12. Lord have mercy. We're just brought us all a bagged lunch tonight and just have a good time in the Lord. Praise God. Look at Romans 7. Look at Romans 7 and verse 12. "Wherefore the law is holy and the commandments holy and just." Here's the same word. And it's good. Hey, you know what Paul's saying right there? If you compare that word good, same word, with Philippians 1:6, what Paul is saying is that that good word that God's working in us is the good word. The word's called good there in that passage. And the work is called good in Philippians 1:6. So the good work is that God is trying to work in us the good word. Look at Romans 8. Oh, this is good, good, good. I'm about to have a spell. If y'all not enjoying it, at least act like it. Romans 8:28. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Oh, Lord, I've seen this. They're about out of fit. "And we know." That is, saved people know something. "And we know that all things work together for," here it is, here it is, here it is, "for good." Who to? To them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose.
Amen.
Verse 28 is telling us that God, in His providence, Brother Brian, is overseeing all the circumstances of our life. And all things are not good. It didn't say all things are good. It said all things are working together for our good. Have y'all ever had any of them cat head biscuits?
Yeah.
Brother Gene, you know what a cat head biscuit is? They're good, ain't they? But if you ever went in the kitchen, and I know his wife and cook, if you ever went in the kitchen when she'd be putting together right and stuck your hand in that flour bowl and got you a big mouthful of that, that'd be awful.
Yeah.
Or reach over there and get a big stick of that butter. Boy, that's good. Or whatever else you put in there. Buttermilk. Lord, God. Anybody can drink buttermilk needs prayer. But let me say this. In other words, all the ingredients that it takes to make them wonderful cat head biscuits, if you were to look at them individually, they'd put a frown on your face. But oh, when they're worked together. Amen. I've seen boy, I've seen mama, and I've seen grandma. Praise God. Amen. just start squeezing it, you know, and it run out to start coming through her fingers. Come on now. Ain't that right? That's when it likes when it's got that finger salve in it. Amen. Praise God. And it starts squeezing that dough and working the flour and working the meal and working all that in there, whatever it is. Work it all in there. And even at that stage, you wouldn't put it in your mouth. But thank God, after it goes through the whole process, brother, you put it in your mouth, your eyes will roll back in your head. Hallelujah. Thank God you say to the tooth, this is good. Oh, brother, my God, son, help us tonight. Glory to God. I'm telling you, God can use the circumstances of our life and work a good work in us. I'd like to preach on that more. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 2. Look at verse number 1. And I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the same word. That good work is the good will of God that He's working in us. His will is better for you than your will. That we may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Well, I'd like to preach on that in some. And I done read Ephesians 2 and verse number 10. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained. You know what that good work is that God is working in you in light of Ephesians 2 and verse 10? It's that good works. God is trying to work in you a good work so that through you can come good works.
Amen.
That's right. For we are His workmanship, Brother Mike. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What's this? Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The good work is that God's trying to work in us good works. Son, I'm telling you right now, this has fed me as much as anything I've got a hold of in a long time. Last one. Hebrews 13:21. Hurry. Last one. I don't have no more points after this. I'm sorry. Oh, Lord, I told you wrong. Oh, Lord, I've got to turn the page over. Lord, some of you about passed out right then. Y'all hadn't had this much fun in a long time. And it's over preaching. We're having a time over preaching of the good Word of God. Watch this right here. Hebrews 13:21. Don't let me forget those last 2 points. Lord, help us, Jesus. 13:21, look at this. That God of peace, verse 21, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. That work that He's trying to work in you is a perfecting work. And I don't have time to preach on that. I told you a while ago, there's a whole message right there on that word perfect. That word, the first time it's used in the New Testament, is used in Matthew chapter 4 when the Bible talks about Jesus coming by and seeing the sons of Zebedee mending their nets. That word mending is the same word in Hebrews 13:21 is perfect. He is trying to perfect in us. In other words, He's trying to mend up all the holes in our life that fish, lost sinners, can get out of. And I promise you, sinners are looking for holes. They're looking for holes in your character. They're looking for holes in your testimony. They're looking for holes in your church. Why, brother? They cannot be caught if there's a hole. So the good work that God's doing in our life, He's mending up all them holes. Can I give you this and I'm done? I know I told you I was done, but honestly, there's 2 more points. I'm not going to preach them. Give me about 3 evangelistic minutes here. Hebrews, listen, quickly. Hurry. I'm in that hurry gear. I don't like getting that. Listen, I know some of y'all said amen right there. But Philippians, listen, Philippians. Turn to Philippians 1:6. Hurry. Philippians 1:6. Times are clicking. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, that's that speciality of that work, will perform it. Here's you another point. Steadfastness of that work. You know, all my points have been with S, so you can remember them. Steadfastness of that work. In other words, if he ever started the work, hello, dear friend, it's still going on.
Amen.
If he begun a good work, the Bible said, not me, the Bible said, he will perform it. That goes back to talking about that a while ago. People getting saved, claiming to get saved, claiming to be under a work of God, and then all of a sudden, you never see nothing out of them. And half of them don't even come to church.
Right.
I wouldn't want to trust the beginning work if it wasn't a continuing work. But the steadfastness of the work. And then lastly, number 9, and I don't have no more points. I'm sorry. If y'all wanted more, you have to get some. But here's the last one. The stopping of the work. Philippians 1:6. He, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. When's it going to stop? Until the day of Jesus Christ. Hey, I want to tell you, friend, guess what? He is still working on us. He will continue to work on us. As long as we're in this life, we will need to be worked on and worked in. You will never arrive. But let me serve good notice. There's coming a day when the work is going to stop. Brother Aaron, I thought about this today. I'm telling you what's the truth. It fed me. I'm telling you. Did you know he's not going to work on us in heaven? He's not going to work on us. We're not going to be continuing to be worked on, my friend, and developed in eternity. Brother, I'll tell you what the work that's being done is being done now. Hey, we're being prepared for eternity now. God's working on us now, getting us ready for eternity, getting us ready for heaven. Oh, God's working on us, getting us ready for heaven. When Jesus comes, or the last breath leaves your body, the work is over in your life.
That's right.
And if you don't like the way you are, I suggest you let the good Master be mastering you and working in you a good work and a good word and the good will. My friend, working in you, because, brother, the condition you're in when you die or Jesus comes is the condition that you're going to be in over yonder. You're not going to leave here cold and dead and uninterested in spiritual things and go over there and shout up and down Glory Boulevard.
Amen.
As a tree falls, so shall it lie. That right there ought to disturb us. Brother, you better listen. Hey, child of God, you better get ready for heaven. Because this life is temporary. This life is going to be short-lived. This life, friend, is going to be over one of these days. And it don't matter, brother, a hill of beans, how much money you made, how many houses you built, how many cars you've owned, my friend, what kind of clothes you wore, my friend, all of that is not going to matter. None. You better get ready. Let Him do a good work in you, getting you ready for glory.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you, I feel God. I know I've preached long night. I don't know how long, but I'm telling you what, I don't feel a bit of deadness in my soul. I don't feel a grieved spirit in my soul. In fact, I tell you what, I almost feel like doing. I almost feel like dismissing those that wants to leave. And brother, the rest of us will settle in here and preach, praise God, and praise God, and have a time. You mean to tell me after God breathed through here like He did this morning and us want to get in a hurry to get out from under His table? Shame on us. Shame on anybody that's in a big hurry to get away from what He's got on the table tonight. He didn't have to do what He done this morning. He didn't have to breathe through here. He didn't have to demonstrate His power. Oh, no. He didn't have to, Brother Brian. I'm telling you right now, I ain't felt what I'm feeling tonight preaching in RBT in a while. I'm telling you, I know I've run out of points, amen, and we've all run out of time, and I'm about out of energy, but I'm telling you what, I feel in my soul still that wheel in the middle of the wheels are turning. Brother, the Spirit of God is churning in my soul. I'm telling you, thank God. Brother, it's worth it all to have Him working a good work in us. You better get ready. Saved people. Those that are really saved. God is doing a work in you. None of us have arrived. None of us have. None of us can lay claim to perfection. But I'll tell you what you ought to be able to see in your life is that God is working on you. Very few times in my life I felt like I was where I needed to be completely. But oh, Brother Aaron, I could see God working in my life. Oh. Mm. Oh, I feel like running out through that field, amen. Mm. Oh, this world is not my home. My attachment, Brother Henry, is not here. My life is not here. My love is not here. I want to tell you, Brother, that good God, good Master, good Lord, that's a working a good work in me, has put a faraway look in my eye. Thank God, my home is not here. My treasures are laid up far beyond the blue. I tell you what's going to happen to a lot of people. They're saved. Lived a half-hearted life. Never got serious about God working in them. And working on them. And working through them. Brother, they're going to fool around and gum around with their life. Till they're going to turn around one day and look, be looking at the end of it. And they're going to think, oh my Lord, I have wasted my life.
Yes, sir.
And I want to tell you young people, what you nor me can do, you cannot flip the calendar back. You can't turn the time back. You cannot take off birthdays.
That's right.
A life lived. I'm still preaching. I'm telling you, listen to me. God is trying to help us. Brother, we're so attached to this world, it's pathetic. God help us. We're leaving here, folks. We're leaving here. Are you ready? Are you ready? God working in you? Can we really and honestly, in light of what the text, many texts that we read tonight about the work of God in us, the effectual work of God in us, if God's not working in us, do we have the right to claim salvation? No. I don't see how we could. You know what has happened? Now, I'm trying to hush. I mean, honestly. I ain't trying too hard, but I'm trying. I tell you what's happened. And I've said it before. We have made so much light. We have made light of backsliding, which is not even a New Testament term. We have made light of it, Brother Craig, to the point that we've made it easy for people to use that and say, well, I know I got saved many years ago when I prayed that little dime store prayer. I know I ain't lived a day for God since, but I got saved because I prayed a prayer. Where's that work at? You young people, mom's dad, church members, visitors, where's that work at? God's begun a good work in you and He will perform it. It's His work. He's going to do it. If you're His, He is going to work it. He's going to work it. Because I'm going to tell you what He's got attached to your life. He's got an unstoppable decree placed on you that are saved called predestination.
Yes, sir.
I said He's got an unstoppable, unchangeable, unalterable decree
yes, sir.
Placed on your life called predestination. That is everybody, Brother Seal, that gets
yes,
saved.
Amen.
God, that moment, puts into motion what cannot be stopped.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Come on.
So God has got... Listen, if you're His, He is going to work in you or else He will take you out of here.
Yes, sir. I believe that.
Because you're His. Let me give you an example of this. You remember when was it King Nebuchadnezzar made that decree that everybody that gets caught praying, I'm paraphrasing, that they'll be thrown in the lion's den? And guess who they caught praying? Daniel. And the king liked Daniel. And when he found out that Daniel had been caught praying, he couldn't change that decree. Because he had sealed it with his signet. And he could not change it, Brother Carroll. Even though he would have loved to. He would have wanted to because he didn't want Daniel. He favored Daniel. He didn't want Daniel thrown in the lion's den. But he knew that decree that had been sealed with his signet could not be changed, could not be stopped for nobody, no time, not even himself. God cannot even stop the process that He put in motion, predestinating you to be conformed to the image of His Son.
Amen.